Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I'm joined on the phone by our state representative, Darren Bailey. How are you doing today, Darren?
Hey, good morning, Wayne County. I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
And people know this, program is recorded the day before, so today is March the 17th for you and me, and that is your birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday to you.
We're 54 years old and feeling good.
Good. All right. Feeling good about the election, which is now over because it's my birthday when this airs.
Well, awesome. Happy birthday to you then. That's great.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in Illinois. And I guess my biggest question is, does the governor really have the power to shut down all of the restaurants?
Well, that's actually yet to be determined. It appeared that way at first glance, and we started doing some study, and we're seeing some by the time we this is aired, I should know more, but we waited for this executive order to come out and assumed that it would have some serious meat in it, and then when we got to reading it on Monday, I realized that, wow, there's really nothing here. The state police, the fire marshal, and the health department, you know, are the ones that enforce this particular executive order to keep everybody under groups of 50. But then when you really get to reading everything, it looks much like the Democrat laws that are passed in Springfield. Nothing really makes sense, and everything's kind of garbled together. So that is an aspect to be challenged, and there is not an immediate clear answer for that.
Okay, so representatives are not meeting in Springfield, right?
That is correct. We've been kind of put on notice that we were supposed to go back today. Mm-hmm. We've been put on notice that we can be called into session at a moment's notice. But that is correct. As of right now, it's just basically a daily situation. So
if you're called back into session, will you actually meet, or will you do that remotely?
As of right now, we'll actually meet. No, we've been told to. Because a lot of people in Chicago, you know, sometimes have different modes of transportation. So, no, an email went out on Monday and stated to essentially, you know, be ready and have plans ready to get to Springfield at the call. So,
okay.
So as of right now, yes, we would potentially be meeting in Springfield.
Okay. Here's what I don't understand about the restaurant closure. And that is that, your mom and pop restaurants don't run on a whole lot of extra cash. So I think they're going to really be hurt by this. Is the state going to look at giving them some funds somehow?
And that's that's what frustrates me about this whole thing. I'm going to be perfectly honest, and I'll just say it right now. If Donald Trump was not our president, I'd be very, very, very alarmed about this, and I would be up in arms. But the fact that he is the sitting president, and Mike Pence is his vice president, and I have complete trust in what he does, that calms me. To a sort. So ultimately, and I think that's it, you know, if you remember Monday afternoon, that they are working and passing relief packages, to help people, because yes, you're exactly right. The people that, the people that work at these places, mm-hmm. Most places will be scaling down. Some places probably aren't. There's been a couple of closures already. There's been a few announcements out there in our district of restaurants that are, are going to shut their doors for good. And so that's what I think the bulk of the relief will probably come from the federal government, because that's, Trump has, as Illinois suggests, that we keep meeting groups below 50. President Trump has actually suggested that we keep them below 10. So this does, we can throw conspiracy out there all day long, and it really frustrates me, because it comes at a really dangerous time for our economy, and it is going to have, I believe that This union's not going to look the same in a year from now because of the repercussions of this with the fallout of the markets. But nonetheless, we've been through, as you know, such the same with the Depression and many other times, and we will persevere. But in this day that we live in, and with the political madness that we see, and with the direction of the Democrat Party, it is alarming. We do have to keep our guard up, and we have to consider that you know, we've got to be watching. We got to stay educated, and we've got to be ready to be empowered. So yeah, it's concerning. You know, restaurants out there, I think everybody's kind of getting the word. If you have a restaurant, you can still people just can't come in and sit down and eat. They can walk in for pickup. They can have curbside. The meals can be delivered, and so that's still possible. You know, it's interesting. So out of this, you always just have all these things that you really didn't think of. And I had several different truck companies call me and say, well, "What about our drivers? You know, our truck drivers? Because right now, more than ever, we are depending on them to deliver the goods to these lot of sold out stores."
Right.
And the fact that they can't now go inside and sit down and have a meal and rest, you know, what about that implication? What about, auctions? There's several auctions coming up this weekend. You know, does outside auction consist of these shrunken groups? So yeah, I've put in several calls to the governor's office. I have a direct liaison that I'm able to work with, and she has been very good at being very timely, getting information back to me. So yeah, we just got to be Americans and believe in the system. We don't have to trust in it, but we got to believe in what was created over 240 years ago, and be ready to stand for those principles.
Okay. Is there a website, or are you keeping restaurant owners and business owners up to date on what's going on?
Yes. Yep. I've got actually, and there is a website. And, well, actually, no, there's not. There's a website for the coronavirus situation, and I've got a lot of that posted on my Facebook page. And every day at 2:30, as far as new outbreaks of the disease and any other information, that will all be given each day, unless there's an emergency that arises beforehand. Every day at 2:30, the governor will come out and give an address and an update on the situation. And then immediately thereafter, I post updates on my Facebook page, Darren Bailey for State Senate 55, and I will continue to do that. And if anything, you know, shows up that's alarming in between and before that, I will right now, if you know, feel free to reach out to me and ask me any questions that you wonder about, and we'll help you find the answer. But in the meantime, the updates will definitely show up on my Facebook page.
Okay. What else has the legislature been able to do anything this spring other than deal with the coronavirus outbreak?
Not really. There were a few minor bills passed, but nothing. You know, we instead of calling congresswomen and congressmen by such titles, that's no longer going to be put in Illinois language. It'll be them and they. So that's a very important bill that Springfield felt the need to pass. So
okay,
that's the kind of things we've been accomplishing since January. So no, nothing of substance.
Okay,
it was just getting in the grind of the bills and the process of and with the coronavirus. It's just been really a weird. It feels a lot different in Springfield. Felt a lot different in January and February than it even did a year ago. So
okay.
It's almost like you could feel something like this coming because nobody was getting real aggressive with anything. So.
Okay. Is I was out of town over the weekend, and the places I went were mostly barren. Is it like that in Springfield? Not a lot of people out?
Yeah. Nope. I went up to Mattoon yesterday, and it was eerie. It was there was a couple local restaurants open yesterday, but most of the Most of the chain restaurants along the interstate, they had already, closed their seating areas. And, so one form of, as we talk about, one form of relief that the state can offer and has offered is that for the people working at the restaurants who are being laid off potentially, or any other business, there's a 1 week waiting period for unemployment, and that has been waived. So
okay.
Unemployment benefits would kick in immediately. And this, as you know, the state has worked with, or governor took credit for it, but he has worked with utility companies and other companies to make sure that, I know someone said they got an email yesterday from Ford Credit, and many of the larger companies are working with people to, postpone payments for a while, or to work with them, like Ameren or utilities. I think there's going to be a lot of relief there. The governor, as far as they postponed any, eviction, any court dates as far as evictions and stuff like that, to buy some time to work through this. So that's what the state has the power to do. I think we saw President Trump come out and they, lowered the interest rates to 0.25%. Of course, the banks will still, charge. That'll be, I think it was a 2% reduction effectively on most interest rates. I'm not sure when and how that actually goes into effect, but I think we're definitely going to see more. I think one thing I heard yesterday, we read that we are where Italy was 2 months ago, as far as the okay. rates are really right now kind of the same. So we need to take this seriously,
okay.
and for a while and abide and see if we can drop some of these cases that pop up daily, and mm-hmm. if we can get that under control.
So. Okay, and still, let's emphasize this: no one in Illinois has died from the coronavirus.
That is correct, as of Monday afternoon.
Now you've been traveling around the district, and tell me about school districts, and because there's no school, grade school, high school, college going on right now. What have you seen happening with the schools as a former school administrator?
Well, so obviously schools are let out until March 30th. It has been perceived that if things don't radically change with the spread of the virus, that schools may not go back into session at all for the rest of the year. So that's been perceived. One really neat thing that I have witnessed is several of the schools are going to have their cook staff come in and go ahead and prepare meals with the food they have online, and probably and continue to take deliveries and offer lunches and meals to those who need it, and to those less fortunate, because we know it's a fact that sometimes the best and unfortunately maybe sometimes the only good meal that some of these students get is the meal at school. So that's been exciting to see these schools, many of the schools in our area, step up with that sort of plan. So that was encouraging.
Will that affect school funding, because their attendance days are going to drastically drop?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, so that's something that's going to have to be, that has yet to be worked out. So yes, if nothing is worked out, it certainly will affect the funding. But that money is essentially in the budget. It's there, set to, it's set to move. So
okay.
As far as I understand it, the money should actually, that would be an exception to,
okay.
To make that happen, but the taxes are being collected and the budget's allocated, so that shouldn't affect anything.
Okay. All right. I know our school administrators in our area are going to really appreciate hearing that. Let's talk about going forward from here. Do you have any plans to introduce any new bills in the House of Representatives this year?
I've got to, so the filing bills, the time of that's over with.
Okay.
It's kind of, and actually coming up here next week would be the typical time to get your bill out of committee. So there's a there's a calendar of events that take place, and these last few weeks the campaign trail got a little bit ugly, and it's kind of interesting. I'm glad you asked this question, because I was accused of not filing bills, pertaining to some of the things that I said I would do
right.
2 years ago. Well, the interesting thing is, these bills are already filed. There's a bill that was filed and refiled to, revoke the budget. There was a bill filed to revoke the gas tax hike. Those bills were filed. We call in at the December of each year. We've got, each of us are assigned a staff, and we tell them what our ideas are, and they begin to, we work together to formulate things and put things together. So,
right.
If we want to waste taxpayer money, then I can draft a bill of my own and wave it around and say, see, but instead what we do is I sign on as a partner with someone who may have already drafted a bill. So with that being said, so all the things, the license plate, everything under the sun, through abortion to avoiding the Floyd card, those bills are out there. They've been introduced. So there's a few of them that I have under my name, but many times it's just a matter of when staff got it completed and when it got it out. If another bill hits first, well, then you just stop what you're doing and you sign on to that bill. Or if you know somebody that's going to introduce a bill, then you just wait, instead of having 20 people spending all of their time drafting, 20 of the same bills. We all, whoever hits that first, then we sign on with that person as a co-sponsor. So the two bills this year that I'm excited about, the first one is a 5119, and it offers a foster parents a tax credit. And really excited about that one, because I've had a lot of the Democrats in Chicago who I usually spar with, they love that bill, and they've come on, and two of them wanted to be a chief co-sponsor. So each bill has the sponsor, the 5119. I sponsored it, I wrote it and introduced it.
Uh-huh.
And then you can have four chief co-sponsors. Those are four people that said, hey, I want to, I really believe in this and I want to help you push it. And then after that, you just have typical co-sponsors. That means I like this bill, I'm going to vote for it, I'm going to help support it. So I've had the 5119, the foster care, the parent tax credit. We're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another bill, and the numbers escape me right now, but it is to end the EdTPA requirements for education. I didn't, as serving on the school board member, I personally saw that as being a distraction for many teachers. And we need to get the state out of the way of mandating and requirement, and we need to let we need to let our local school boards have more control on who they want and who they believe needs to be teaching in their classroom. So, and last session, we were able to end the basic skills test, and that was kind of cool, because I sat on that committee, and after listening to the ROE 11 superintendent Kyle Thompson come in and give some really awesome testimony, I thought, wow, this is good stuff, because I had experienced as well while I was on the school board teachers who, for some reason or another, not good test takers, could not get past this silly basic skills test. And then it's $300. It just costs more and more every time you take the test. And we had actually had these teachers in the classroom, because they can teach for a semester while they're trying to pass all these state mandates. And they were, they're awesome teachers, wonderful people. But yet we had to let them go because they couldn't meet state requirements. So I signed on with the Democrat sponsor when no other Republicans would, and was even chastised that for a little bit initially. But then we go to caucus, and I explain this to the, my fellow caucus, and why this needs to be, why this is a problem. And anyway, sure enough, several of them came to understanding and signed on, and we were able to pass that bill. So that's just some pretty cool stuff going on, even though there's most of the, you know, principal items that we talk about and vote on up there. You know, we never ever budge on principle, and you really never ever compromise. You don't compromise. If you compromise in Springfield, you're in trouble. But if you see something and it's like, wow, I didn't understand that and I like that, or they like something, and then you begin to work together. You begin to develop some trust, and then through that, you know, you develop some interest from them and get them to come down to our district and see what's going on, and they can understand our way of life. And that's what's taking place right now with this coronavirus and these requirements. I'm talking with the governor's office, and I'm saying, hey, I believe things are a little different down here than they are up there, and we can't, we got to be careful of what we're doing, because I don't think you're treating us right down here. So you begin to open up that dialogue, and which has never been done before.
Okay.
It's simply never been done before. So anyway, that's the situation with the bills that I have.
Okay. And what committees are you on?
I am on three education committees: appropriations K-12. I'm on licensing and charter schools, and I'm on the early learning, which encompasses a lot of our daycare centers. Then I'm on an agriculture committee. I'm on energy and environment committee. So I hear all of the when we start fighting about our oil rights and oil situation, we were able to stop a bill that would completely ban fracking last session. And finally, I'm on human services appropriations. So that's the money. Well, anytime appropriations is in front of a committee, that means the money that gets sent to people. So that's our hospitals, nursing homes, anything to do with veterans affairs with the human services.
Okay. All right, Darren, we've run out of time.
All right.
Here's hoping
you're having a
party in Louisville tonight.
Actually, we have canceled it. We've knocked it down to we're going to honor this whole situation. So we think we've canceled the party. We'll have a party later when all this stuff calms down, and we're just going to limit it to family tonight and pray for better days for Illinois.
Okay. All right, Darren, thanks for your input for today.
Thank you. God bless everyone.